State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
If you're looking for the most epic place on Earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears, real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
The NBA Finals begin Thursday, June 6th. At 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on ABC.
This is your wake-up call.
Wake up. The Breakfast Club, the show you love to hate. From the East to the West Coast.
DJ Envy.
Angela Yee.
Charlamagne Tha God.
The realest show on the planet.
This is why I respect this show, because this is a voice to society.
Changing the game.
You guys are the coveted morning show, but y'all earned that.
Impacting the culture.
They wake up in the morning and they want to hear that Breakfast Club.
The world's most dangerous morning show.
Yep. Good morning, USA.
Yo.
Good morning, Angela Yee.
Hey, good morning, DJ Envy.
Charlamagne Tha God.
Peace to the planet. Guess what day it is?
Hump day.
I don't even feel like laughing. Nothing to laugh about this morning. Starbucks closed. That's when you know it's time to go, bro.
Why?
Because Starbucks is closed.
They closed?
Starbucks been open. Rain, hail, sleet, snow, whatever else comes from the sky. Coronavirus got Starbucks in our building closed, bro. And the coffee guy outside, the guy that has the coffee stand on the corner.
Coffee cart guy,
Mufasa, I think his name is Mufasa.
Mm-hmm.
He said, today's his last day.
Damn.
He's had enough.
He's had enough? It's a wrap for
he's
him?
He's had enough.
And
then when you walk in the studio and you see a bag of gloves. and then you keep getting all of these new reports about coronavirus.
Yep.
It stays on the surface for 9 days.
Yep.
And it's airborne. You know what? I think it's time to cash it on in and stay in the house.
Yeah.
Yep.
I got my mask on today. And that's because they are training some people that are standing behind me. And honestly, I don't know where they've been.
What do you mean training people that are standing behind you?
Well, they got to train engineers to be here and work the boards when we're not here.
What are you talking about?
So Taylor and Red have to learn how to run the boards, so they got to be standing behind me.
So they've been.
So here, they have to be at work while you're at home.
Yeah, but they've been here all week, and you just decided to put on your mask?
They wasn't in this close. Like, you got to give 6 feet.
Shut up. Taylor comes in here every goddamn
day.
But she
ain't 6 feet. What about you? Why you got gloves on today?
Because they was in here.
Just because they in there?
Listen, I follow the money. When the white man starts shutting down things, okay, and the white man is losing hundreds of millions of dollars and billions of dollars per day, and then you walk into the white man's studio and there's some gloves, I put the gloves on. Clearly, they know something I don't.
They know something. Okay.
That's it.
All right.
It ain't rocket science here,
stop
people.
Following the white man.
Why?
You're right.
This is one of those times you should.
You're
okay?
Right.
Follow the money.
Yeah, you're right.
All right?
All right. Well, Linda Sarsour will be joining us this morning.
She's a superhero.
Mm-hmm.
Her, Tamika Mallory, Carmen Perez. Linda's got a new book out called We're Not Here to Be Bystanders.
Correct.
Yes. Very good read.
Yes. Yeah, so we'll kick it with her in a little bit. And we got front page news. What are we talking about?
Well, we definitely should talk about, of course, coronavirus and all the updates on what's happening. And then we'll also talk about former Vice President Joe Biden and him sweeping the primaries yesterday in Arizona, Florida, and Illinois.
All right. We'll get into that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Well, it looks like Tom Brady. It looks like he will no longer be a Patriot. He put on his Instagram yesterday, he thanked, I guess, the whole Boston and Massachusetts area for riding with him. But it looks like
it's a wrap
for him for Patriots.
20 years.
Now, they're saying he's probably going to go to Tampa Bay, but I'm sure they will announce that today. Officially.
I mean, I hate when I see GOATs go out like that. You know, we see that from time to time in our sport. I mean, in any sport, you know, whether it was Michael Jordan going to the Wizards or Peyton Manning going to the Broncos. It worked out for Peyton Manning, though, because he ended up getting a championship. But I don't like when somebody spends their whole career somewhere and they dominate in that place, and then at the end of their career, they go, you know, end it elsewhere.
But you understand Jordan. I mean, he owned the Wizards, so he went to play for the team he owned.
He owned a piece of it.
Yeah.
I still wouldn't have stepped out on that cover. That's why we don't count. We never talk about those Wizards years. Yeah. Ain't going to be no 30 for 30 on those Wizards years.
Nah. But
we don't ever mention those Wizards years, but when we talk about the greatness of Michael Jordan.
But he owned it.
But don't
so
we respect the fact that Tom Brady did so much for the Patriots for so long, and now he wants to get that money?
He been getting money. He got 27.
Yeah, but I thought he took, like, a lot of cuts and everything just so that other people, they could bring in other players around him, and now he wants to get a...
Yeah, but as he should. He's 42 years old. Like, Tom Brady should not be going nowhere where he gets $30 million a year because he needs a team around him. He needs the best running backs. He needs the best receivers. He needs the best offensive line. Like, I would like to, you know, go out on top when it comes to winning. Not saying he might not do that in Tampa Bay. Who knows?
And he's getting a huge check. But what else we got, Yee?
Well, let's talk about the primaries in Florida, Illinois, and Arizona. Joe Biden, they said, swept everything. And people are calling now for Bernie Sanders to step down. Well, here's what Bernie Sanders has to say.
Hold on. Hold on. We got it? No, we have Biden talking about it.
Oh, his Biden,
Senator Sanders and I may disagree on tactics, but we share a common vision for the need to provide affordable health care for all Americans, reduce income inequity that has risen so drastically, to tackling the existential threat of our time, climate change. So let me say, especially to the young voters who have been inspired by Senator Sanders, I hear you. I know what's at stake. I know what we have to do. Our goal as a campaign and my goal as a candidate for president is to unify this party and then to unify the nation. You know, it's a moment like these that we realize we need to put politics aside and work together as Americans.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, Bernie and Biden, they need each other.
Right.
You know, because they have to unify the party and they have to energize voters like never before. If they're saying they need the largest voter turnout in history to go out there and beat Trump this year, then that's what they're going to have to do.
Same goal.
That's it.
All right, now let's talk about finances and coronavirus. Right now, Walmart is committing $25 million to the global coronavirus response effort, $5 million towards preventing, detecting, and managing coronavirus, $10 million towards supporting food banks, school meal programs, and organizations that provide access to food, and $10 million that will support efforts in U.S. communities and global markets. Dunkin' Donuts is moving to drive-through and carry-out services. Uber pool service is suspended in the U.S. and in Canada. Uber Eats is waiving delivery fees, and customers can also request that food be left at their doorstep. Facebook is giving employees $1,000 and six-month bonuses as coronavirus assistance. Planet Fitness is offering free at-home workout classes via live stream. So if you want to work out, a lot of people are at home ordering those home gyms, can't go to the gym. They're trying to work out from home. In addition, here is Steven Mnuchin, who is the United States Secretary of the Treasury. Here's what he has to say about getting paid.
The payroll tax holiday would get people money over the next 6 to 8 months. We're looking at sending checks to Americans immediately. Many companies have now shut down, whether it's bars or restaurants. Americans need cash now, and the president wants to get cash now. And I mean now, in the next 2 weeks.
How much?
I will be previewing that with the Republicans. There's some numbers out there. They may be a little bit bigger than what's in the press.
Go ahead.
All right, now, coronavirus is in all 50 states as of now, and they are reporting the number of cases to be at 6,135. The White House has requested $45.8 billion in emergency funding with this pandemic growing. And, you know, it's not a complete solution, but we'll keep you updated on what's happening. And if you have to pay your taxes, that deadline is pushed back 90 days now due to coronavirus.
Has to be. That's right.
Yeah, I was pushing mine back till October anyway, so that means next March, IRS, I got you.
When I get it, you get it.
This time next year, I got you,
yeah,
IRS.
I got you, too.
Okay,
yeah.
Trust me.
They are saying that Americans should only purchase enough food and essentials for the next week ahead, according to the FDA. So they said stores will remain open and supply will continue to meet demand nationwide. So they want to make sure that we're not hoarding things and not disrupting the whole food supply chain.
I mean, that's good to hear, because, I mean, the only reason that we go out there and we buy so much stuff because we just don't know.
Right.
We don't know when things are going to shut down.
But who wants to be out there?
Who wants to be out
in the stores? Who wants to continually go out when we don't know what's going on?
Oh, woe is me. Hey, listen, you would much rather be able to go into a store and have no store open at all and not know how to fend for yourself, because a lot of brothers don't know how to hunt. A lot of brothers don't know how to fish. A lot of brothers don't know how to live off the land because y'all ain't got no land to live off.
Right.
So you would much rather have them stores open.
No, correct. But that's the reason why people are hoarding. That's why they'll continue to hoard, because they don't know.
We don't know.
Nobody wants to go out there and deal with the elements. So if I got to go out there one time and do that for 60 days or 30 days, that's what I'm
going to
do.
No, I promise you, if things get bad, I know I'm going. Back to them dirt roads in Mount Corner, South Carolina, baby. I'll be right down there living off the land.
Mm. Now, let me ask you this. If they do put this whole shelter in place in your city, does that mean you can't go to the supermarket?
I don't even know what that meant. I saw that yesterday. What was that about?
The shelter? I think they said they'll give you particular days when you can go out and shop. But for the time being, you have to be stuck in the house.
And that woman who in New Jersey who tested positive for coronavirus at the hospital and you gave the workers a fake name and an address and then you left?
Yes.
Get your ass to a quarantine. Why you want to leave the hospital and go spread that around everybody? People crazy, yo.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is your front page news. Phone lines are open. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up right now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
So you better have the same energy.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Yo, this is Rodney.
Rodney, what's up? Get it off your chest, bro.
Yeah, man. Good morning, Charlamagne.
Peace, King. How you doing, Rodney? You blessed, black, and highly favored?
Yeah, something like that. You know, just dealing with all this madness. Angela E., good morning.
Good morning.
To you.
Hey, Rodney.
Good morning, DJ Envy.
What's
just
up, son?
Just want to talk about this coronavirus and everything that's going on, wondering why they're not shutting down these factories that's got hundreds and hundreds of people in it, but they shut down restaurants and stuff like that.
Well, that's soon to come, I think. I think they're going to start shutting down them factories in a little bit, too. I mean, everything takes time. They just started shutting the restaurants down yesterday. They just shut the casinos down. So I'm sure they'll get to that in shortly.
Yeah, I know this capitalist country doesn't want to admit it, but eventually they're going to have to just stop everything. It's going to literally have to be a week or two of nothing moving.
Yeah, that's what I was looking at. Probably by Monday, everything is probably going to be on a two-week hiatus for everybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yep. But that's what I was saying. You know, we were saying that they said only buy stuff for a week. But if the factories are closed and people aren't making the goods that we need, then what happens? Then the supply is down. So people are going to be wanting to get as much of stuff as they possibly can. Right or wrong?
I didn't even hear what you said, to be honest with you. I was reading stuff on Twitter.
What the hell are you reading, man?
There's a bunch of that's scaring me, but you know.
He was just saying if they shut down all the factories and make things, will the supplies be down for us to be able to buy things?
2 weeks, man. We're going to have to thug it out for 2 weeks, you spoiled-ass Americans.
Hello, who's this?
You. What's up, Envy?
What's up, Trav?
What's going on, Yee?
Hey, boo.
How you doing, babe?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. What's up, Charlamagne?
Peace, King.
Why you sound
doing,
so sad,
sis?
Bro?
Hey, man. I don't know if y'all noticed or not. I mean, I ain't called in a couple of weeks. I've been, like, low-key really depressed, bro.
Well, we've been a little preoccupied with this coronavirus thing, Trav. You know, trying to stay healthy out here. Sorry if we didn't notice you calling, sir.
Talk to us, Chad.
Like a couple of weeks ago, y'all know my little dog, Cardi, that y'all done met like a million times that I bring
yes.
up here.
Yeah.
You know, she's actually in the hospital right now. She's dying in the hospital right now. It's like the last week and a half. And she fell down.
She got coronavirus?
She fell down the stairs. She fell down the stairs and fractured her skull, man.
Oh,
I'm
man.
How the dog
that?
Fall
That's
down
so
the stairs?
Sad.
Remember the little dog? It's a little tiny dog.
But dogs can fall downstairs?
A little dog, yeah. Dogs can fall off a couch. What do you mean?
The way that it happened, she was having a seizure. So she was trying to follow me. So she had a seizure, and she fell down the stairs while she had a seizure.
So she had pre-existing conditions. That
I'm
coronavirus
so sorry to hear that, Trav. I'm so sorry to hear that. That's so sad. I know dogs are part of people's families.
I
want
to say, man, veterinarians got to do. Because, you know, all of you ever took your dog to, like, an ER vet?
I have.
It's like... you have to pay up front. Like, they don't want to bill you. She's been in a hospital. It's $80 a day that I'm paying for them to take care of her.
Yep.
Like, now they're telling me after 2 weeks I have to make a decision on. It's like,
your dog Cardi should have voted for Bernie Sanders. Okay, he wants Medicare for all. Clearly, the healthcare system is messed up for humans as well as animals.
Oh, stop it!
Sorry, yeah, but I will pull up and fight you.
But you know what?
No, you won't. It is 6 sad. 6 feet social distancing.
You know what? It is sad because I had an issue with my dog about maybe 8 years ago, and it was the same thing. You have to pay up front, and it's very expensive. So now I tell anybody, if you own a dog, they have dog insurance, it's better to purchase that dog insurance.
Because definitely got to get that insurance.
I had to pay for an antidote for my dog, and the antidote was $2,500. And then when they gave my dog the antidote, the dog still died. And then I had to pay to lay the dog down and cremate the dog. And it wasn't like you could take the dog back and put it in the yard and bury him. No, they had to cremate the dog, so it is very expensive.
Is somebody out there screaming right now saying, I don't have insurance. My kids don't have insurance. I don't give a damn if my dog got insurance or not. My dog is his kid.
To a lot of people, their dog is like their kids, man. But keep in y'all prayers. I know y'all probably like, it's just a dog, but to me, it's more than a dog.
And we get it. Sorry for your dog, bro.
I'm going to just pray for everybody, and that includes your dog, okay?
Yo, shut up, man.
Not doing a specific prayer for the dog.
Have a heart, man.
There's too much going on in the world to be just specifically giving prayers to a dog, Envy.
Pray for that dog, too,
Pray for everybody.
Dogs are living lives, too.
That's why I say pray for everybody. Everybody needs it right now. Imagine me. God, please. Could you look out for this dog named Cardi?
Yes.
At a time like this?
Yes. Bah, humbug. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Wake up, wake up. Wake your ass.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed, we want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
The C-Rock, man. I'm down here in South Florida. Hey, Envy, check this out, man.
Oh, boy.
We got some young teenagers down here, bro. They running down on the beach. They having fun like it ain't nothing. I'm watching the news. You got old people out there talking about, oh, it ain't gonna bother me. They don't care about spreading this virus, man. So it's like, you know, you got people down here that's born down here that's scared. And these people that come here for spring break, so they don't even care.
That's why I think they need to lock it down, man. I think that you need to have a government lockdown.
They need to lock it down, man.
We got to get
First Lady Nikki on the radio and say, y'all go, get away from that beach.
You know what I hate?
Because they don't care.
You know what I hate? Your Uncle Charlotte have been on this radio telling y'all that the craziest people in America come from the Bronx and all of Florida. And I've been telling y'all to build the wall around Florida. And y'all tell me I'm crazy. Sure. Now all of a sudden, y'all want to build the wall around Florida.
Oh, you're right. No, you're right. But it ain't just people from Florida. It's just they come down here for spring break. They shut down the beaches on the East Coast. Don't blame it on them people.
It's Florida. When you get down there and you drink that water and you eat some of that good licking food, you become a Floridian and you automatically turn crazy.
Hello, who's this?
This is Rashad.
Rashad, what up? Get it off your chest, bro.
Hey, I'm a truck driver. I'm on the road right now. And ironically, coming out of Florida, I just heard y'all talk to the Florida guy. But I just want to give a shout out to them truck drivers out there, man, keeping this world going during this time.
That's right, you know, man. Keep the supplies coming in, bro.
Yeah.
You are appreciated, King. We really appreciate y'all. Y'all are the ones that, you know, when I'm talking to these people at these stores and they're like, yo, the supplies coming in at 7 o'clock, the truck will be here at 7 o'clock, they talk about the truck like it's not being driven by a person. So salute to you,
sir,
King.
Yes, sir.
Yes, we appreciate all your hard work every day.
Yeah, and I appreciate y'all on the radio, man. Y'all help me get through my nights and my days as I'm riding, listening to y'all and listening to the music, man. I appreciate y'all, too.
Thank you, bro. What you in your truck now?
Yes, sir. I'm in my truck now. I'm actually in South Carolina. I just crossed over from Georgia too long ago to South Carolina. I'm headed to Fayetteville, North Carolina. That's where I live.
Okay. And, South Cradack. You know that's home. That's the crib.
Yeah, yes, sir. And I'm going to be off for the next couple of days, so I'm going to enjoy a little bit of off time. I got to deliver this 40,000 pounds of juice first, though.
Okay. Well, get that juice out there. Blow the horn
orange
for
juice?
One time.
No, it's different types of juice. Minute Maid, orange juice, lemonade, things of that nature.
How much orange juice you got on you right
stop
now?
Stop it, man. What you trying to do, man? Trey trying to get you fired, man.
I need you to do a little drop-off in South Carolina for me real quick.
Blow the horn right fast, bro. All right. Thank you, bro. You be safe out there. Hello, who's this?
Hello, this is the Money Queen, Miranda Garcia.
Money Queen. How much money you got calling yourself the Money Queen at this time?
So that's what I like to tell people is you never judge a book by a cover. So just because my name is the Money Queen doesn't mean...
You got money.
So basically, you like everybody else on Instagram, fronting.
Yeah, No, not actually. I'm the CEO of the University of Network Marketing, and I've been network marketing since 2013. I've lived in the leadership industry since 2007. So I'm contacting you guys today because I've heard you guys over the radio every single morning, and I've been dying to get my voice out there. With the coronavirus, there's no better time than to learn how to work online. And there's no better way to do it than to find a group that has been in the industry for some time. So I thought I would try to get a hold of you guys and reach out to you guys. I left you guys messages on Instagram. I actually just started an Instagram like a couple years ago, but I stopped using it. So I started using it again this year, and I just recently made a YouTube page and all kinds of stuff. I'm the creator, the designer, the developer. I've done all the coding, the website building, everything on the backside. So,
are you going to tell us the website?
It's actually pretty cool. Yeah, it's at the unmonlinesystems.com.
All right.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you for calling.
Congratulations on your free commercial that you just got just now.
You have a good one.
Okay. Hopefully, we can get a discount for all that free promo we just gave you. All right. If we ever need your services.
Jeesh.
By the way, I was just looking at ESPN because it's on in the studio.
Yes.
They got this thing called Score.
You just seen that Score, right?
It revs up your libido.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there thinking, in my mind, I'm like, well, damn, I'm going to be home for the next couple of weeks.
Maybe I should give me some Score.
Might as well order some Score. I really was just thinking that. That was a good time for commercials like that, yo.
Correct.
Because I literally saw it started off with a man in a bed. With his woman.
I was watching.
And it was just like Score. And it was like, rev up your libido. And I was like, I'm going to be in for the next 2 weeks. Why not?
I mean, because you do got a hole in your condom right there. Look at your finger.
A condom? Boy, shut up. Use latex glove. I ain't wore condom since goddamn Jay-Z drop Kingdom Come out.
All right. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. We got rumors on the way?
Yes. Oprah had to put out a public service announcement about her name trending, why it's trending, and she had to dispel any myths.
All right. We'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. The NBA Finals begin Thursday, June 6th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on ABC.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
Say my name. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club.
By the way, if you got to ask her to say your name, you ain't doing it right. Yeah. She should be saying your name just because.
Taco Tuesday went pretty good at the house. We played Jenga.
Don't ever segue from me talking about me putting it down to you talking about Taco Tuesdays. Okay?
All right. All right. Sensitive. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Oprah then.
It's time.
She's spilling the tea.
This is the Rumor Report with Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Well, yesterday, Oprah was trending, and it was because of a fake report. There were reports that she was arrested for sex trafficking. There were some false reports. Social media posted said that her home was raided. She was arrested, and it all started, as they said, on an online message forum for teenagers and adults. Apparently, people are bored because they're home with coronavirus and avoiding coronavirus, so they decided to do this. She posted online, just got a phone call that my name is trending and being trolled for some awful fake thing. It's not true. Haven't been raided or arrested. Just sanitizing and self-distancing with the rest of the world. Stay safe, everybody.
I wish she hadn't responded to it. I'm going to be honest with you, because even her responding to it gives it some sort of validity. And, you know, one day y'all just going to realize how dangerous social media is, because nobody cares about the truth when the lie is more entertaining. And people just want something to confirm their biases or reinforce the narrative they're trying to paint of a person. Or you just simply want something to be true because you don't like that person. In this case, you don't like Oprah Winfrey, so you want that to be true.
She didn't even want that near her or next to her. That's the reason why she responded.
Why respond to it? Because you'll find yourself trying to put out those fires on social media all the time. It's always a lie about somebody on social media. Always.
Well, she shut it down, and she felt like doing that. So.
She really did, and it's still number one trending right now.
Well, and people think it's not true.
And people think because she responded to it, then it must be some sort of truth to
it. They know that's not true.
Yeah, I didn't think that. All right, now, Kevin Durant, amongst the people that have tested positive for coronavirus, yesterday they did say that four of our Brooklyn Nets have been diagnosed with coronavirus. One of them is Kevin Durant. They said that out of the four, only one of them was exhibiting symptoms. The other three were asymptomatic. So all four players are presently isolated and under the care of team physicians. The organization is currently notifying anyone who has had known contact with the players, including recent opponents, is working closely with state and local health authorities on reporting.
Yeah. I mean, another thing that makes everybody anxious about this coronavirus thing is you just don't know how you contracted, right?
That's right.
So, like, you're wondering, what was Kevin Durant doing? He probably just was living his life.
Because he wasn't even playing basketball.
And they saying stuff like it lives on surfaces now and it's airborne. Mm-hmm. You don't know. Like, how did he catch it?
My son was more concerned about Drake, though. He was like, you know, Kevin Durant was hanging out with Drake a couple days ago.
Yeah, and Drake is self-quarantining. So he did post a video from his basketball court in his mansion in Toronto. He said, my life for the next however long.
I mean, listen, y'all say Drake music is sick, right? It would only make sense.
But I'm
just saying.
I'm not mad at him.
Quarantine for a couple weeks, come out with some real sick music.
Quarantine in his basketball court.
All right, and Cardi B is saying that she went to royalties after that song that they made out of her warning about coronavirus went viral. DJ I. Marquise put that behind a beat. Listen to this.
Guess what, bitch? Coronavirus! It's real!
Hey, man, she got a point,
though. That
song
went to number 11 on the charts, after she posted it.
They sampled the voice. They got to pay her.
Yeah, I sat back, and I saw what was going on in China with coronavirus. I saw what was going on in Italy. You know, I saw Donald Trump hold press conferences. But I didn't start taking it serious until Cardi B got concerned. When Cardi got concerned, that's when I got concerned.
Okay.
All right, now, Tekashi 6ix9ine is being sued by Fashion Nova for $2.25 million. He, I guess, allegedly made a deal with Fashion Nova, and he was paid in advance of $225,000. And then 2 weeks later, he got locked up.
So. I was confused with this one. How they gave him $225,000 but sue him for $2.2 million?
I have no idea why they would sue him for so much. He promised to return the money. Maybe it's for damages. I don't know. But they said they had no idea that he was a criminal. And now they're suing for that amount of money.
What are you talking about? They give deals to potential criminals all the time.
Why if he only got 225, are they suing for 2.25?
But I'm just saying, in general, when you do a deal with somebody like 6ix9ine, you can listen to 6ix9ine's music and tell what he raps about, and you know he was a member of a gang.
Well,
so why
are
you
going
to try to act like you didn't know that he was potentially involved in stuff like that?
Well, he was arrested before the deal, so I don't understand how they could sue him for that.
I think 6ix9ine should lean into the whole snitch thing, and they should do a special line for him with Fashion Nova where it's just like rat logos on whatever
he did
he puts
mention
out.
Fashion Nova in a song, though, didn't he?
Yep.
Yeah, so I feel like...
Before or after he got paid.
I think
this was
that's
after
probably
paid,
what
I
they
think,
paid him
before,
for.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
So what's the problem? All right, and, you can't distance yourself from the guy. You know what he was about.
All right. And rest in peace to Roger Mayweather. That's Floyd Mayweather's uncle. He died at the age of 58.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, as you know, Floyd Mayweather was very close with Roger Mayweather, and he's very emotional about his passing. You know, very unfortunate. They said he had been declining in health for years. And Floyd even opened up about his health back in 2015 and blamed boxing for damaging his brain. He had said, "My uncle Roger Mayweather has lost a lot of memory from the sport of boxing. He's only in his 50s, but it seems like he's an old man in his 80s. A lot of people considered him to be the best trainer in the world, and he was also a very good boxer."
Yeah, 58 is very young.
Yeah.
58 is very, very young to be passing away. So rest in peace to him. Floyd's had a rough couple weeks,
right? Yeah, a rough couple of weeks.
Baby mom died.
His uncle.
His uncle. Yeah.
All right, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your Rumor Report.
All right, thank you, Miss Yee. Now, we got front page news coming up.
Yes, we'll be talking about Biden versus Sanders. We'll tell you about what happened with Super Tuesday results.
All right, we'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Shout out to everybody that has to go to work. I know a lot of people are self-quarantined or has to be in the house, but there's a lot of people out there that have to go to work. So.
Yes.
We just salute you guys, and we appreciate
and
you guys.
We appreciate you. Starbucks finally opened in our building.
Salute, oh, it did?
Salute to D downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not eating from there, but I want to get me some hot water so I can sip my ginger tea.
And shout out to all the employers who are actually making sure their employees are good during this time, even if they can't come to work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know it's not easy, but there are people who are still making sure that there's some payment assistance
for
people who aren't getting paid during this time. You know, that's, I think, a really great move.
Very important if you can afford it,
for
man.
For people who need it. Mm-hmm.
All right, well, let's get in some front page news. Tom Brady, looks like Tom Brady is leaving the Patriots. He put on Instagram yesterday that he appreciated everybody for riding with him the last 20 seasons. And it looks like they're saying that he's going to be playing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
So what happened to Jameis Winston? He's a free agent now or something? Somebody picked Jameis Winston up?
I guess so.
Man, they just got rid of the black quarterback to bring in the old white man quarterback. See, y'all look like the Democratic Party right now. Get rid of the young black guy, and instead of moving forward with something younger and blacker, you get something old and white.
Yeah, there's two things that he wanted to do. He wanted to be able to pick some of the people that they, I guess, got for his offensive line, and he wants to be able to make play calls, because usually quarterbacks don't make the play calls as the coach, but he wants to have both those things.
Tom Brady didn't have that kind of power in New England?
Six-time
Super Bowl champion? Greatest quarterback of all time?
Well, that's what he wants.
Interesting. Is Tampa good? I don't know.
Tampa has a good offensive team, right? They got good weapons on the offensive side.
Only Tampa Bay fan I know is Spoken Reasons and Will Power Packer.
Will Packer.
I mean, they're from there.
Yeah. Will Packer. All right. What else are we talking about, Yee?
Well, let's talk about the 2020 primaries in Florida, Illinois, and Arizona. It was a big night for Joe Biden. He led in the polls, and right now he made a clean sweep. People are asking for Bernie Sanders to step down now to help unite the party. Well, here is what Joe Biden had to say as he streamed from his home.
Senator Sanders and I may disagree on tactics, but we share a common vision for the need to provide affordable health care for all Americans, reduce income inequity that has risen so drastically, to tackling the existential threat of our time, climate change. So let me say, especially to the young voters who have been inspired by Senator Sanders, I hear you. I know what's at stake. I know what we have to do. Our goal as a campaign and my goal as a candidate for president is to unify this party and then to unify the nation. You know, it's in moments like these that we realize we need to put politics aside and work together as Americans.
He's right, and he's saying the right things, and, you know, he has to lean into some of those things that Bernie Sanders supporters care about, because the only way he's going to energize young voters is to actually have progressive policies like a Bernie Sanders, because them's supposed to be the party that reflects America. And neither one of those old white men reflect America. So he needs progressive policies. He needs a black agenda. He should have a black woman running mate. And he said he would put a black woman on the Supreme Court if elected. So that's what it's going to take.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, let's discuss what else is going on with people getting paid during this time. The Secretary of Treasury, Steven Mnuchin, had some things to say about cutting checks immediately to Americans.
The payroll tax holiday would get people money over the next 6 to 8 months. We're looking at sending checks to Americans immediately. Many companies have now shut down, whether it's bars or restaurants. Americans need cash now, and the president wants to get cash now. And I mean now, in the next 2 weeks.
How much?
I will be previewing that with the Republicans. There's some numbers out there. They may be a little bit bigger than what's in the press.
Go ahead.
By the way, isn't that socialism? Like, America always has the money to give away when they want to give it away. But for some reason, when it comes to just poor and disenfranchised people uplifting and empowering them, they can't find no money. But when it comes to things that, you know, are impacting them directly, right, they can always find that bread. But isn't that a form of socialism?
I guess.
Am I tripping?
I guess so. You know, I just pray that they do get the help. There's going to be a lot of business that can't afford to pay their employees because they're not making money. So I hope they just don't bail out the big airlines and the big companies. And I pray that they help the regular people too, because they're going to need it just as much as those big airline companies and those big major corporations.
Yeah, they can always.
You know what? I had posted something yesterday because a lot of people were DMing me their stories about what's going on at their jobs. And somebody had sent me a post. I work at the Golden Nugget Casino in Lake Charles. I want to remain anonymous for my job safety. Mm-hmm. We are out of work for 4 weeks and the billionaire owner, Tilman Fertitta, won't pay us. We're the only casino that's not getting paid. We're trying to make it viral. Can you please help us and love your show? Well, that did end up going viral. Hollywood Unlocked posted it. And after that, Golden Nugget officials did say that full-time and part-time hourly employees will receive 2 weeks' pay.
As they should.
So that helps.
Like this government can find the money to give out when it wants to, okay? So it's like they're giving out these stimulus packages. And I just think, you know, in times like this, you know, we got to expect more of our government for our tax dollars.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
And like you said, 2 weeks is great, but then what happens to 2 weeks after that? And then the 2 weeks after that? And then the 2 weeks after that? We
got to
do
something.
Well, that's
a start, because I think people also don't know how long you'll be out. So you have to start somewhere.
They got
to
start with the mortgage companies. They got to tell people they don't have to pay their mortgages. I know in some places they're not allowing power companies, electric companies, to turn people's power and electric off.
A lot of places aren't turning the water off.
Oh, and I know some credit card companies are not reporting to, not like who cares about credit now because everybody's credit is going to be effed up if nobody pays, but they're not reporting to credit card companies to, you know, to make sure that, you know, your credit goes down. So I'm
and
hoping
you
that
know,
they follow
taxes,
suit.
That's been delayed also, so you don't have to worry about your taxes.
That's right.
For 90 days.
And speaking of taxes, people expect more of government in these times for our tax dollars.
You're right.
And that's the thing. When people talk about raising your taxes, I don't mind paying more in taxes to help, you know, people who need it. But I don't know where my tax money going now.
Absolutely.
You know what
they take a lot of it.
You want to take more of it, but you're not even telling us where it's going now?
They take a lot of it.
Okay?
All right. Well, that is your front page news.
Well, we know where it's going. It's going to fund the military, but that's a whole nother story.
All right. Now, when we come back, Linda Sarsaro will be joining us. She has a new book. We are not here to be bystanders. We're going to kick it with her when we come back.
I love Linda. She's a superhero. Tamika Mallory's a superhero. Carmen Perez is a superhero. They are appreciated.
All right. And also, Ask Ye next hour. You can get on the phone lines right now, 800-585-1051. If you got a question for Ye, call her right now. She'll help you out with all your problems. You might be going through a lot. You're at home with your bae or your boo.
I'm getting some messages now from people who are upset that they don't have a bae and they're bored.
Yeah. So whatever you need, call her now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. The NBA Finals begin Thursday, June 6th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on ABC.
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You know a spot, but not just a spot. The spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
The Breakfast Club is back.
Yeah,
back.
Yo,
back where I want to be.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have a special guest in the building.
Yes, indeed.
Linda Sarsour. Welcome.
Sarsour.
Did I say it right?
Yeah, you all right. You're right. You're right. Oh, 10 more years, you're going to be perfect.
She got a new book out called We Are Not Here to Be Bystanders. Explain that title, because that's hard.
Listen, it's like the right book at the right time. It's exactly what it says. You know, we're not around to just sit around and watch injustice and watch all the stuff that happens around us and just be like, this must be how it is. So the book is basically a call to action, like get up and do something, say something, stand up for yourself, stand up for your family, your community. And there's a lot of stories and people you know in my book and the work we've done. We've been on The Breakfast Club before, and I try to capture us like in our essence, in our humanity, with our families. So hopefully folks check it out.
You talk about yourself too and finding your voice at an early age. So share some of that, because for some people they still haven't found their voice and some people are still struggling with not being bystanders.
Absolutely. You know, for me, I tell people all the time, there's really nothing extraordinary about me. I'm born and raised in Brooklyn. I'm a daughter of immigrants. I went to public school like a lot of people, you know, in New York City and around the country. And for me, it's like everybody got it inside of them. You just gotta stand up. You gotta realize that if, you know, you see something happening and you don't say something, then it's going to happen again to somebody else, to somebody else, to somebody else. And sometimes going to get to your doorstep. It might be your child. It might be somebody that you love. So you just got to be the person to kind of break that cycle. So for me, saying we're not here to be bystanders is a decision you make. And we've seen this before. Sometimes you're on the train and you see a young woman getting harassed or something. You know, you got to ask yourself a question. Are you going to stand there and let it happen? Or are you going to be the one that's going to be like, hey, leave her alone? Even that very simple action that you could take on a train or on a bus or in the street, that for me is another way to reflect that you are not here to be a bystander.
I'm not gonna lie, when I read this book, and I know you say that you feel like you're a normal person, I feel like you're a superhero. And the reason I say that is because some people are here to help and assist others and to save others. And I know it's a thankless job, but I feel like that's your purpose. Like, when did you realize that?
I appreciate that, Charlamagne. For me, it was the horrific attacks of 9/11. A lot of people, you know, saw me, Tamika, and Carmen at the Women's March and thought that was kind of how we came up. Like, we just kind of came out of nowhere. But
we've been organizing. Social justice Voltron.
Yeah, we've been organizing for a long time. For me, it was 9/11. It was like one day you're a regular Muslim walking around New York. Nobody really looks at you twice. Then something horrific happens. A lot of innocent people die. And it happens that the people who commit this act of terror are Muslims. And all of a sudden, you go from being a regular New Yorker to a suspect, right? Mm-hmm. That you're part of some suspect community that, you know, had actually nothing to do with that horrific attack. And I'm in Bay Ridge, where I'm from, which is Southwest Brooklyn. Believe it or not, and, you know, unless you lived in my community, you would have had witnessed this. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, raids of law enforcement going into the buildings, pulling men out into the streets, laying them down. And you're watching from the window, like, what is happening here? Like, these people came from countries where the same thing that was happening to them in New York happened to them in their country. So they're fleeing to come to America, find this land of democracy where they could be free and they could be who they want. And all of a sudden, fathers are being taken, moms are crying in the street. And I was looking like, this is not okay. This is not right. And so for me, that was like my radicalizing moment. I was like, I'm not going to sit by and let this happen. So, of course, I'm bilingual. So I speak Arabic and I speak English. Started translating for these moms, these wives, trying to find their husbands in like the abyss of law enforcement, like the dark holes of the Metropolitan Federal Detention Center, New Jersey. They were going to Pennsylvania. I don't even know where they were taking them. And that's how I got into this. I was in college studying to be a high school English teacher. That was what I had a simple life.
Yeah, you talk about that in chapter 5, the Everything Changed chapter, about the 9/11 attacks. Did you feel like your community was being terrorized?
Oh, absolutely.
Y'all under attack.
It was it was to the point where, you know, like, you just started feeling like you couldn't, like, there were women who, other allies in our community who were not Muslim, were walking their kids to school in the morning, because not only were you being terrorized by law enforcement, you were afraid that you could get picked up, cab drivers. There were, for a little while, some of the stores were closed down. I remember the day of 9/11 when I walked back from, I was going to Kingsborough Community College. I walked all the way back from, and that's a long way. It's like a 2-hour walk because there was no public transportation. My mosque door had a gate down. I never seen in the 20 years that my mosque was open, I didn't even know my mosque had a gate because it always was open. And the fact that it was closed, like, it shook me, because I, at the time, I didn't even know what had happened. Because, you know, we didn't have no Twitter, no Facebook at the time. There were no flat screen TVs in the college campuses for you to know. So imagine just walking, and you know, Kingsborough Community College is on Manhattan Beach. So when I walked out of my campus, there was literally like a snowflakes of paper, burnt paper that were falling from the sky, and you still didn't know what happened.
Right.
And so for my community, absolutely. And also the discrimination. Like, mm-hmm. one day your neighbor's your friend and you're, you know, talking outside, and then your neighbor don't want to talk to you no more. Like, mm-hmm. people giving you looks, and there was, as you know, increased hate crimes against women, particularly ones that wear hijab, because who are easily identifiable. And that continues till today. And I'm just like, look, 9/11 happened 19 years ago. It was a horrific day. But there got to be a moment when we come together and be like, we got to move on.
You,
like,
give people a pass, you know. And the reason I asked that is because I remember being a kid back then. It was like the press made it so we hated Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
That's what their goal was, I believe, back then. To the point where I remember being a child and not necessarily understanding. And every time I would see somebody with garb on, I would get a little nervous. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that's the same way white people look at black people when they see black mm-hmm. people with a hood on. Like, they get a little nervous. Mm-hmm. And it was like, not until I got a little old and start understanding and realizing that that was wrong. You know, mm-hmm. do you give people a pass when they have those conversations, your neighbors who might not have known at those times?
Yeah, I mean, I'm one of those people. Not everybody's like me. Like, I'm willing to have the conversation. If you really come in from a place of fear or a place of, like, you know, you just don't know, let me have that conversation. And in fact, it's why I wrote my book.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to talk to me. You don't want to talk to a Muslim. That's cool. You don't feel comfortable. Why don't you just read this book? Because the book is not really about me. It is my story and my journey, but it's really my people. Like, my people are in this book. Like, I'm trying to figure out a way to show you, like, it's not that I'm saying, like, oh, you and me are the same. We're not the same. And that's okay. I don't want to be the same as you. I want you to know that we can all live in this country and coexist together. Just treat me with some respect and some dignity. And that's what we all want. You know, we've come on the show before and we talked about, you know, police brutality. We talked about young men, black men and women being killed at the hands of law enforcement. You know, it's not about, I want you to be like, oh, we want to be like black people. Black people are like us. But that child is somebody's child.
Mm-hmm.
That's somebody's husband. That's somebody's boyfriend. That's someone, somebody loves that person. And for me, it's like, I love my kids too. Why should my kids be bullied in a public school system by your children because your children watch something on Fox News or are watching movies in Hollywood where the Muslims are always the hijackers? We're always the enemy. We're always the bad guy. You know, it's hard. It rarely do you watch something where your kid can watch something and be like, wow, like, I want to be that guy. You know, I want to be that woman. Mm-hmm. Like, the Muslims are never that. And for me, like, I owe it to my people. I owe it to my kids, too, who have been through a lot. You know, Tamika and us, like, we've been through a lot of stuff. I mean, we've been, you know, death threats, you know, people harassing us, like, online bullying. I mean, for me, just a couple of months ago, when that guy in Florida got arrested, the MAGA guy, Cesar Sayoc, got arrested for sending pipe bombs to Obama and to Hillary and to people who he believed were in opposition to Donald Trump. The FBI came to my house. And I was like, why are you here? You know, I explained the story of course, elongated in the book. And they were like, we're just here to inform you that the national FBI sent us to let you know that when we raided the home of Cesar Sayoc in Broward County, Florida, that he had addresses for you. So I was next on a list to get some pipe bomb. Now, mind you,
You did get a crazy package once.
I sure did. Mm-hmm. And for the Cesar Sayoc guy, imagine he didn't get arrested.
I'm not
President Obama. President Obama got Secret Service that intercepts his mail. Hillary got, you know, interception. Like, for me, I'm like you. I go out to the mailbox and I get my own mail. You know what I mean? Same thing. Like, when I'm not home, my kids are going out to the mailbox. Mm-hmm. You know, they get Amazon packages. How am I supposed to explain to my kids what is the right package and what is not the right package?
Right.
Like, this is serious work that we do. And you may not always agree with us, which is cool. And people don't always agree. And it ain't about agreeing. But you gotta at one point say, like, look, this is America. Like, they're free to believe what they believe. They're free to organize. They're free to say what they want to say, because that's what America's all about.
All right, we have more with Linda Sasso. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. EJ, Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Linda Sasso. Now, what was the strange package that you got? What was that package that Charlamagne mentioned?
It was crazy. It was, I was in Arizona. My mom calls me, gets a package. It looks suspicious. It says on the outside, Sarsour for city council. Obviously, I wasn't running for city council, so it already looked suspicious. My brother came, put on some gloves, opened it up, and it's a scrapbook. And the scrapbook got photos of my kids in it. And my mother starts screaming. And it's like, you know, it's like they're just getting really personal. They had a photo in there of a cousin of mine claiming that picture, because my cousin doesn't wear hijab like me, being like, that was me before I wore hijab, just randomly. And you sending that to my mom's house, of all places. So my mom is a little immigrant lady, you know, from Sunset Park, and she just went wild. Because the fact that you know my parents' address to be sending them mail, the fact that you got photos of my kids, and if you look at my social media, I don't be putting photos of my kids up there, because I'm trying to protect them. In fact, I changed my kids' last name. They don't have the same last name as me. And people are crazy.
Think about all that. I changed your kid's last name just
to protect
them?
I mean, the other day, my son is a university student, and his professor just randomly was given a lesson. She's sharing a lesson or whatever. She happens to mention my name, and then my son later on, he already had her two semesters in a row. Later on, my son goes and whispers to her. He's like, "Just want you to know, you know, that's my mom." And so the professor was like, "You should be, like, telling everybody that's your mom." He was like, "No." He's like, "I don't be telling everybody that's my mom, but I wanted you to know," because he felt, like, a little solidarity from her, you know what I'm saying? So the fact that my child can't be in university and be proud and be like, "That's my mom up there," tells you everything that you need to know about the type of, like, circumstances that a lot of us got to live when, you know, I go to a protest. I be protesting all the time. My son and my daughters be at the protest, but they be nowhere near me. Right. They want to be part of my work. They believe in what I believe in, but they can't, because if something happens...
They're the first ones they're going to get got. Right. Now, let me ask you a question. Did they ever find out who sent you that stuff and all that, or no?
The FBI found out. It's a guy that lives up here on the Upper East Side. Like, this is not even a guy that lives It doesn't, like, it's not a guy that lives in, like, you know, I don't know, Tennessee somewhere. Like, this is a guy in my city who the FBI tracked, and they just went to his house because, you know, sending me a package, technically speaking, is not like, oh my God. They were like, you better back, you know, the FBI basically was like, you better back up. Like, this better be the last time you ever try to contact this lady.
We're watching you. Now, Linda, you talk about your decision to wear the hijab also in the book. And I'm sure there's other people out there who are trying to figure out what they want to do as well. Other Muslims who are like, should I wear mine? Should I not? So explain why you decided that it was time for you to start wearing your hijab.
Absolutely. I mean, for me, I just want folks to understand that not every Muslim wears a hijab. So there are many Muslim women around in New York City, outside New York City, all over the world that do not wear the hijab. I chose to wear the hijab. For me, the hijab just is a signifier of who I am. Like, when I walk down the street, you may not know I'm Palestinian. You may not know I was born in Brooklyn until you hear my voice, but you will know I'm Muslim. And so for me, it's a point of pride. We know when I was growing up, my name was Linda. You know, people thought I was Puerto Rican. They thought I was Dominican. They thought I was all kinds of other things, but they never really thought about who I actually was. And so for me, this becomes originally started as more of like an identity. And then as I grew older, it became a very spiritual part of me. I mean, for me, you know, hijab actually just means modesty. That's really what it is. And for me, like, you know, everybody gets to have the agency to wear what they want when they want. And for me, I have the agency to choose to wear the hijab and to have people judge me by my character, by my deeds, and not necessarily always be like, you know, focused on like the more exterior type of things that we usually learn about in the shallow society.
In chapter 13, you talk about the NYPD's infiltration into the Muslim community and your experiences being spied on. How do you trust people?
And that's the thing about, you know, when we talk about, you know, we were talking about obviously about you know, like Bloomberg and Stop and Frisk and things like that. You know, unwarranted spying is similar to Stop and Frisk in the sense that it's basically racial and religious profiling, but in a different way. So when Stop and Frisk is something visual, you see it, you stop the kids on the street. With spying, literally, it's technological surveillance. It is sending informants. And what the NYPD themselves called mosque crawlers and rakers. That's what they called them.
Mosque crawlers and rakers.
That's what they call them. And rakers, if you think about what a rake does, a rake goes in, rakes out. Right, which means that they're picking up stuff. So what they do is, oftentimes there have been cases of, you know, informants for the NYPD who will go and kind of, you know, be what we call provocateurs, you know, in places. And similar happens in, like, when they're doing, like, the narcotics, you know, trying to just pick up people or get people to say something or kind of entice them into, you know, particularly young people or people with, like, mental illness and things like that, which is most of the people that they've been, you know, that you see in the news oftentimes. The program, the demographics unit of the NYPD, which is what mapped the Muslim community. So I want you to imagine this. They mapped 250 mosques in New York City. They were sending informants on whitewater rafting trips with NYU Muslim students. Like, nowhere is safe. They were mapping all of our restaurants, basically being like, this restaurant is owned by this Egyptian guy. He's, you know, Sunni, and trying to act like they knew the difference between Sunnis and Shias. We don't even know the difference sometimes in our own community. And they were wrong often when you looked at the documents that they had. And what that does is it's psychological warfare. Because I might be sitting with you at a coffee shop in my community, and you might be like, yo, what do you think about what's happening in Iran right now? And the first instinct I have is like, do I know you, and why are you asking me political questions? Mm-hmm. Instead of being like, oh, that's my brother, he's just trying to have a conversation. Word. And so that's what it does. It breaks the fabric of your community. Like, you be at the mosque praying and you're wondering, like, is this guy really like my people, or is he with the NYPD? Is he with the feds? And that's the thing about it. It's very, like, really pervasive in a way that people don't realize. And that's what they've done in our community. I mean, I talk about it in the book. I personally have been visited by informants. I always tell people I got an informant radar. Like, I could tell when you're an informant.
Wow.
And this, by the way, just so folks know, like, is not just something I'm sharing with you, because everything in this book is fact-checked. This is actually part of the Associated Press in 2011 started an expose based on secret documents that were leaked from NYPD officials. Like, even NYPD people on the inside were like, yo, this is crazy, like, what we're doing right here. So they leaked box of about 5,500 pieces of paper, documents that are secret documents. And when they opened it, they started doing exposés. They won the Pulitzer Prize. Those four reporters won the Pulitzer Prize based on that expose, because it was such rich information. Like, it was outrageous.
All right, well, don't move. We got more with Linda Sasso. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Linda Sasso. Charlamagne?
Chapter 18. I love the title of chapter 18, Silence Will Not Protect You. You tell a story about a Arab family who did something very interesting just to feel safe.
Listen, I mean, silence, and this is comes from Audre Lorde, this idea of that sometimes when you're silent, people might actually think you're enjoying it. You know, they might think that you don't think it's so bad. So the idea of silence will not protect you, it just doesn't. And I'll share with you a story. I was, all of you know that I was a Bernie supporter also in 2016. You know, Bernie doesn't win the nomination. I'm not stupid. I'm not naive. I was like, look, I don't want Donald Trump to be my president. So I started organizing for Hillary. I go to Ohio. I'm with this white girl volunteer. Me and her are walking in the streets, and it's like kind of like a rural part of Ohio. Walking down the street, we got this list. I look up at this house. I see a Muslim woman coming out with a hijab, giving her husband a cup of water, goes inside. And then I look at the list, but the address ain't on my list. Mm-hmm. And then so I look at the girl. I'm like, I'm going up to this patio. And she's like, but that ain't on our list. I was like, don't worry. Those are my people. I want to go talk to them. And the reason why I wanted to talk to them was because there was a Trump sign outside of their house. Mm. And I was like, this is interesting. Yeah. Like, why is this happening? So I go up, you know, I get into, I'm like, assalamu alaikum. And this older Egyptian guy, I'm talking to him, whatever, very sweet old man, just chilling. And I'm like, you know, muster up the courage to be like, you know, so uncle, like, why you got a Trump sign outside? So he looks up and he's like, look around the street. And I look around and he's right. There's a lot of Trump signs. And he's like, imagine if I'm the one without the Trump sign. Oof. And I was like, so it didn't even occur to me. Right. Like, I'm going in here from New York City being like, what you mean you got a Trump sign outside your house? And he said, you know, that's for me, that's protection right there. Mm. So him putting a Trump sign outside of his house, acting like he's with everybody else, makes him and his family feel safe. So then I asked him a question. I said, okay, I get that now, you know. He really, like, shook me, but I get it. I said, but you're not going to vote for him in this election, right? You know what he said to me? He said, what if Donald Trump don't win? I said, you know, because I'm in there being righteous. I'm like, well, we don't want him to win. And he's like, but what if he don't win? He's like, who you think they're going to blame for him not winning? And he looked at me for a little bit, and he's like, he gonna blame you and me. Mm. And, you know, mind you, I live in Brooklyn. He lives in, like, a rural part of Ohio. So the way his context and the way he thinks about things is a lot different than mine. So sometimes people's our fear causes them to be silent instead of them being like, putting, he could have, if he wanted to, he could have put a sign of Hillary outside, or he could have put a no sign at all, or he could have been talking to his neighbors like, no, I'm not voting for Trump because I'm Muslim and this is what Trump believes about our people. But he decided to use a different, I'm not saying I judge him or that I don't understand him, mm-hmm. but what I tell people that we got to come to a moment and realize that silence is not going to protect us. Yeah. And in fact, not only will silence not protect you, but when you're silent, things stay the same because people are like, ain't nobody complaining, so and no one's saying that this is not right. So why are the people in power going to change the things if we're all just sitting around being like, well, that's just another day and another bad thing that just happened. So I tell people, like, say something, use your voice. I'm not saying put yourself in dangerous situations. Obviously, you know, Tamika and I, we put ourselves in dangerous situations all the time. It's not for everybody.
That's why y'all superheroes.
But, you know, and for me, and you know this, all of you, you know, like, we got kids. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, when my kids see this stuff, you know, you open the news channel every day and the newspaper, you know, all around you. Imagine, you know, when, like, your kid's looking at you like, what are you doing? And I want them to know, like, you got to be unapologetic about who you are. And that's another thing about my book. Even though it's my story and my journey, but the real message in this book is just be unapologetic about who you are. Don't ever let anyone tell you how to be, who to be. And I even say this in the book. A lot of people, you know, like, sometimes they walk into a room or an interview and they want to be, like, less Black or less Palestinian or, like, less Muslim because they think that we got to be palpable to people in power, oftentimes white people. And I tell people, no, this is not how it works, because you got to break the cycle. At some point, some of us got to figure out how to get to those places where we're the ones that are in decision-making power. And I think we're on the path there, which is how you get the Ayanna Presleys and how you get the AOCs and how you get the Ilhans and the Rashidas and the many more like them. And, you know, in 2021 in New York City, we got major elections in New York City. 26 open city council seats, the mayor, there's a new mayoral, open mayoral seat, open comptroller. And there's going to be a lot of Black people, a lot of people of color running, a lot of women running. Mm-hmm. You can't be like, I don't know if that Black woman can win. Like, that's what we do. Mm-hmm. We did that, you know, I mean, I'm a Bernie supporter, but they did that at Elizabeth Warren. Right. Oh, I don't know if the women can win. You got to sometimes be the one that says, no, she actually can win. You know why? Because I'm going to help her. I'm going
to
help her.
What do you say to people who are like, I don't like any of the nominees, so I'm just going to sit this out, or I don't want to participate, or it's not going to happen for us anyway. Mm-hmm. Trump's going to win. What do you say to that?
I'll say to folks this. Look, I respect people's decisions. Like, you may not like any of the nominees, and that's actually could be really true, and they could be, I'm not saying we got the most high quality candidates in the race right now, but what I say to people is I want you to think of one thing, which a lot of times we don't talk about in our community. It's the Supreme Court. If Trump gets 4 more years, he's getting another nominee. Like, Ruth Bader Ginsburg is hero, yeah, but the lady's old. Like, we cannot expect this lady to live till she's 150 years old. So we got to just think to ourselves and say, maybe I'm not electing a candidate that I like. Maybe I'm electing my next opponent in the White House. That's how I think about it. So when I was supporting Hillary in 2016 after Bernie, I wasn't like, oh, Hillary's amazing. I was like, you know what? I'd rather fight Hillary than fight Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. And that's how I'm thinking about this election as well. Who's my opponent in the White House? But what I will say to folks is this. Don't always come up every 4 years and think about the presidency. There is a lot of down ballot races. It actually don't even matter who the president is if we still got a Republican Senate. Mm-hmm. So think about who comes after the president. Who's running in your district? Who's running for Congress? Who's running for city council? Who's running for, you know, school board? Like, start from the top of the ballot and go to the bottom of the ballot. And that's what our people do. They go to the polls, they start at the top, and they leave. No. Actually, whatever's on the bottom, all the way on the bottom, is more important because those people are local. Like, those are the people that got actual impact on your life in your local community. So I'm saying to people, like, I'm with you. I get the frustration. I'm not going to judge people who make decisions to stay home. But there are future generations who are counting on us. And you're talking about a government who doesn't believe in climate change. They don't believe in racial justice, economic justice. These are people who are trying to roll back LGBTQ rights and all kinds of things.
Women's rights.
Women's rights, reproductive rights, literally trying to take us back 100 years, and I'm not even exaggerating. Do it for the people. Right. And don't go to the polls. And I say this to people all the time. When I go to the polls, I don't vote for me. It's not about my feelings. I think about Black moms in my community, undocumented women in my community. I think about my own immigrant mom. I think about my dad who's sick and just had cancer last year, thinking about our horrific healthcare system. You know, one of the reasons why I support Bernie, and to be honest with you, people think it's some profound thing. It's not profound. I just want healthcare. Like, that's really it.
You're voting your interests.
I'm voting that's healthcare. Good. I want every American to have healthcare. People shouldn't be dying in our communities or going to the hospital to the point of emergency because they don't have money. Like right now, coronavirus. Oh, if you feel sick, get yourself to the doctor. What if you don't got healthcare? Mm-hmm. What if you can't afford to go to the doctor to see whether or not you have corona? So for me, people do vote those types of interests, right? They vote very specific things. But what I'm asking people to do is like a solidarity vote. Like, you don't like nobody, that's cool. Just go in there and knowing, like, what could happen if we get another 4 years of Trump. You know, you see these babies in the cages on the border. Like, that, those are our babies. Those could be our babies. Like, we watch, you know, this president all day, every day talking all this nonsense. You know, we banned the Muslim. Now we have 14 countries, 12 to 14 countries that are banned from coming to America. One of them is the largest African nation. Nigeria. Like, this is a president who's like, I don't want black people here and I don't want the Muslims, which sometimes can be both of those things. So just do a solidarity vote. Vote for me. Vote for your undocumented neighbors. You know, vote for black people. Vote for the people who are going to be the most marginalized and who are already marginalized even before Trump, but the ones that are going to be even more marginalized under a Trump administration.
Pick up the book, too, man.
That's right. We are not here to be bystanders.
And we thank you and appreciate you for joining us.
Out right now.
That's thank
right.
you. Make sure I appreciate you.
Pick it up right
you.
Now.
Yep. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, anywhere you can get a book.
All right. Linda Sarsour, it's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Did he get it right?
Yes, he did. All right.
Listen up.
It's just in.
All the gossip. The Rumor Report.
Gossip.
With Angela Yee.
It's The Rumor Report.
The Breakfast Club.
Wow, that bomb is long on this end. All right.
It's long here, now, too.
That long. I don't know what's going on. All right, so there were reports that producer Hitmaker, a.k.a. Youngberg, pistol-whipped his girlfriend, Talia Tilly, and these pictures had surfaced online with the report as well. Well, Youngberg has responded to these allegations, and he told a long story, and he also posted a police report. He said that the woman was never his girlfriend, and I guess what he's trying to say is that she attempted to have him robbed in a home invasion. He said, I could have been murdered inside my home on Saturday, and I would like to take this time and thank all of my family, friends, and colleagues who have reached out regarding the matter, sending love and positive energy. This footage is very alarming to all my fellow people in music and living in Los Angeles area. Please be safe and monitor who you allow in your home. I made a crucial mistake, which could have costed my life. This woman was not my girlfriend ever. I won't dive further into this and will let my lawyers move forward accordingly. Please stay safe amidst these tragic times, not only for myself, but the entire world. So apparently there's a video footage that he showed of people trying to break into his home. And he posted that footage as well. And basically, I guess what he's trying to say is, he said, I retain legal counsel. I have surveillance footage. He showed video number one of suspects passing firearms through my home gate. Video number two, suspects retreating after my ADT alarm sounds and jumping gate on my property. And he goes on to post this footage and let people know that the woman, I guess, he looked at her phone. He managed to access her phone and she was giving her location to some unknown people. So he feels like the woman was actually trying to set him up to get robbed.
That's what it seems like.
So I hope some charges are going to be pressed against this woman. Because
he said he has his lawyers on it.
Yeah, because when she jumped out there yesterday and said that, you know, Youngberg pistol whipped him, that immediately ruined his reputation, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And I guarantee more people saw that story of her saying Berg beat her up as opposed to what really happened, which is this setup, right?
That's scary. Well, man.
I would hope some charges get brought up against her.
And I'm glad.
Right,
I was waiting
to hear the statement from him before reporting because I didn't want to give false information yesterday. So now we have both sides.
Yeah, I'm glad Berg was smart enough to lock his doors, put the alarm system on, put the chains on the door, and all that other stuff, man.
All right, now Idris Elba is sharing his coronavirus health update, and he says that he and his wife did manage to get tested. A lot of people couldn't even get tested, and he wants to make sure people know this is not just some type of conspiracy theory situation.
Black people, please, please, please understand that coronavirus, you can get it. There are so many stupid, ridiculous conspiracy theories about black people not being able to get it. That's dumb. Stupid. That is the quickest way to get more black people killed. And I mean, I'm talking about the whole world, wherever we are. Please understand that you can get it.
Hey, Idris, I know you're probably just getting caught up on social media because you be busy and all that, but that was a 2 week. That story was 2 weeks ago. Okay, after the Utah Jazz players got it, we realized that black people can get it.
Well, I guess in his own comments from what he had posted when he revealed that he was diagnosed, he's responding to that, really, people in his comments.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what he also said, too. All right, now, ABC is replacing Strahan, Sarah, and Kiki in the morning with daily coronavirus updates for now. And so that's what they've been doing. They're also going to have conversations with service-based workers and corporate CEOs, human interest stories, and they're going to debunk myths and misinformation that has been spreading online.
Well, Michael and Kiki can't do that? They can't interview people that can give out that kind of information?
Well, they said it's only going to be short term. So they said it's all revealed as an ABC News staffer covering the pandemic has been diagnosed with the virus. The symptoms were mild, and they said the colleague is feeling better. But now, out of an abundance of caution, you know, they just want to make sure that they get everything together.
So they're shutting down for a little bit. They still be interviewing people, right?
Just temporarily.
Maybe over the phone.
All right, now, TikTok has, there are some reports about TikTok, and what they are saying is that TikTok people instructed moderators to suppress posts that were created by users deemed too ugly, poor, or disabled for the platform. These documents were leaked by The Intercept, which is an online publication known for investigations and analysis. They said some videos that were censored featured serious subjects like military movements, natural disasters, civil service material threatening to national security, but other videos that they actually suppressed were ones that were images relating to, quote, fat people, rundown houses, rural poverty, slums, bare bellies, and crooked smiles. So apparently they didn't want those things to be pushed on that platform. And they said these policies were in use through at least late 2019, according to The Intercept.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't want unattractive, disabled, or poor users represented on TikTok. All right, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right, thank you, Miss Yee. Charlamagne, who are you giving that donkey to?
There's a guy named Steve Keeley of Fox 29 in Philadelphia. He needs to come to the front of the congregation. We'd like to have a little word with him.
Okay.
I don't think he meant any harm, but he caused a little bit of harm, so you got to get the credit you deserve for being stupid for causing said harm, sir.
All right, we'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Charlamagne, say the gang. Donkey of the day. Charlamagne.
You are a donkey. It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkey of the Day does not discriminate.
I might not have the song of the day, but I got the Donkey of the Day.
So if you ever feel I need to be a donkey, man, hit me with the heat.
Yes, the Breakfast Club, bitches.
Who's Donkey of the Day today?
Well, Donkey of the Day for Wednesday, March 18th, goes to Steve Keeley of Fox 29 and all the brothers and sisters in Philly who will be put in jail simply because they don't read, okay? It's kind of not y'all fault, but it is y'all fault because brothers in Philadelphia, sisters in Philadelphia, y'all need to read, okay? Please. I know brothers and sisters in Philly read because I've done book signings in Philly for my books, and they are always packed, okay? Line wrapped around the building, whether it's Barnes & Noble's or the good brother Mark Lamont Hill spot, Uncle Bobby's bookstore. Drop on the clues bombs for Uncle Bobby's. My guy Mark Lamont Hill. In fact, when I did an event with Mark, we couldn't do it at the bookstore. We had to do it at an old church because the bookstore wasn't big enough. Humble brag. So I know you brothers and sisters read, but if you all get jammed up because of this story that came out yesterday, then it's your fault. Because you have to read the fine print. You have to listen to the details, okay? Now, if you know anything about your Uncle Charla, you know I hate headline culture. Headline culture has ruined us as a society simply because people don't read and news outlets put headlines out that they know are going to get clicks. People want traffic, not truth, okay? And yesterday, a tweet went out from Steve Keeley of Fox 29 in Philly. Steve Keeley of Fox 29 in Philly, you have to get this hee-haw because you tweeted out half-ass information yesterday because you said breaking in capital letters, breaking, this was in your tweet, breaking. Philly police officers instructed to stop making arrests for a list of what are considered nonviolent crimes. Once again, breaking. Philly police officers instructed to stop making arrests for a list of what are considered nonviolent crimes. Would you like to hear what crimes police officers have been instructed to stop making arrests for?
What?
Okay. Certain nonviolent crimes. They are as follows. All drug offenses. All right. Theft from persons. Retail theft. Theft from auto. Burglary. Vandalism. All bench warrants. Stolen automobiles. Economic crimes like bad check fraud, etc. And prostitution. Okay.
Mm-mm.
Fox 29 Philly, Steve Keeley. Do you know what that did to the city of Philly yesterday? 11 hours ago, Meek Mill retweeted you and put GTA 6, Grand Theft Auto 6, about to start tonight in Philly. Okay, underneath that tweet, let me tell you what folks were saying. First comment I see is from Chris Dever. Chris Dever said, why would they post this information? Which was my first thought. Absolutely wild. Okay, I'll tell you why. They posted that because they want you to act up, young bull! Did I say that right, Eddie?
No.
Young?
I didn't say that right. Young Bull is Young,
young Bull.
Bull.
They want you to hack up, Young Bull! I didn't say that right?
That's better.
Okay.
A little better.
A Twitter name at TheRealLibra got mad at Meek for posting it. She said, why would you even post about it? Knowing kids going to do exactly what's on that list. Give our youth a chance. Talk about being a voice for your people. TheRealLibra, you can't be mad at Meek. He's just a messenger. Be mad at Fox 29 and Steve Keely, okay? They're the ones who put that out in that way, okay? In that tweet, not Meek. All right, a Twitter account named at TheRealNinky said, just an excuse to allow us to do wrong to ourselves. Stay woke. Don't fall into the trap. Round of applause to those Twitter accounts I just named, okay? Because I saw a lot of that same sentiment last night, all right? But to a lot of folks in Philly, when they saw that tweet from Steve Keely with that half-ass information saying that Philadelphia police will stop making arrests for certain nonviolent crimes, this is what they heard.
Announcing the commencement of the annual purge, weapons of class 4 and lower have been authorized for use during the purge. Commencing at the siren, any and all crime, including murder, will be legal for 12 continuous hours. Police, fire, and emergency medical services will be unavailable until tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. when the purge concludes. May God be with you all.
Lord have mercy. Yes, the devil damn purge. That's what a lot of people in Philly heard when they read your tweet, Steve Keely. But I'm here to tell y'all, don't click on the tweet and retweet the headline. Actually read the story. Because it's not what you think, young future felons in Philly. This is not an opportunity for you to do what you want and run wild with reckless abandon. Okay, since you won't read, then maybe you should actually tune into the news, because WXTF Fox 29 Philadelphia, they were way more responsible than Steve Keely tweeting about the situation, because they actually gave you the details. So before you go out to get your packs off today, before you go steal a car, before you go swipe somebody else's Visa, okay, listen to this.
Police are also making adjustments amid this coronavirus outbreak.
But officials are trying to be very clear about this. It is not an open invitation to commit crime in Philly.
Normally, anyone who is arrested would be processed at a detective division. Now, certain nonviolent offenders will instead be temporarily detained, their ID confirmed, and officers will complete paperwork. Then they'll be advised under a pursuant to arrest warrant rather than be brought back to a police station. The nonviolent crimes include burglary, drug offenses, and vandalism, among others. But if an officer believes an individual poses a threat, they'll call in a supervisor to determine next steps for public safety. In a statement, Fraternal Order of Police President John McNesby wrote, quote, "We are supportive of Commissioner Outlaw's directive on making arrests during the coronavirus crisis. The directive was released to keep officers safe during this public health crisis. Meanwhile, violent offenders will be arrested and processed with the guidance of a police supervisor."
You know, they used to say the devil is in the details. Nowadays, God is in the details. Okay, the devil is in the headline. God is in the details. Okay, isolate that one part and play it for the brothers with the beards in the back who didn't hear him.
It is not an open invitation to commit crime in Philly.
Certain nonviolent offenders will instead be temporarily detained, their ID confirmed, and officers will complete paperwork. Then they'll be advised under a pursuant to arrest warrant rather than be brought back to a police station.
Hold on, one more time. It's a young Philly John that didn't hear that. I just want to play it one more time for her.
It is not an open invitation to commit crime in Philly.
Certain nonviolent offenders will instead be temporarily detained, their ID confirmed, and officers will complete paperwork. Then they'll be advised under a pursuant to arrest warrant rather than be brought back to a police station.
That's right. The same way you folks in Philly spread the news about the Philly purge, make sure you spread the news that basically the police are taking a rain check on locking your black ass up. All right. The party is just being moved to a later date. The game is just being rescheduled. OK, all the police in Philly are doing is RSVPing for you if you commit a crime. Trust me. So please, brothers and sisters in Philly, don't make your life difficult by going around spreading the false information that you can get away with committing nonviolent crimes. It's socially irresponsible and dangerous. You are preying on the fact that people don't read, but that is not an excuse for you Negroes not reading the fine print. So please, give Steve Keely from Fox 29 News the sweet sounds of the Hamiltons.
Oh, now you are the donkey of the day.
And just for the record, Steve Keely did tweet after the first tweet that later on people will be picked up later on. But nobody sees the second tweet. Mm-hmm. You got to lead with that, Steve. All of that should have been in the first tweet, okay?
And Meek Mill deleted his IG post, too.
No, it was on Twitter.
Oh, Twitter.
Yeah,
oh,
it was Twitter.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for that donkey today. Mm-hmm. Now, up next, ask Yee, 800-585-1051. If you need relationship advice or any type of advice, call Yee now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
What you want to know?
Baby mama issues? Need some words of wisdom? Call up now for Ask Yee. 800-585-1051.
The Breakfast Club.
Come on.
Need relationship advice? Need personal advice? Just need real advice. Call up now for Ask Yee.
Keep it real.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. It's time for Ask Yee. Hello, who's this?
What's up, man? It's Mike.
Mike, man. Why you sound so depressed, Mike?
Because I have a question, man. All right, so my old lady, you know what I'm saying? Her mom is always at the house, always getting our business and everything like that. And I don't want to be mean, you know, to be like, you know, stay out of my business and stuff like that. She always, you know, making my lady feel bad about stuff, you know. If I leave the house, she out of my business, you know. So it's like having another wife in the house, you know. I don't understand what to do.
Right, so it's interfering with your relationship.
Yeah.
So yeah, what does your fiance say? What is your
coronavirus, so there ain't no excuse either.
What does your fiance say when you tell her, like, listen, your mom is kind of is disrupting our relationship?
She always have her back. You know, she always have her back with everything. You know, she said, that's just my mom, you know.
You know what, sometimes, and this is so true, right? Sometimes you take things out on your fiance for certain things that are happening like that. And obviously she's not going to go against her mom. But sometimes we have to realize that we are a team when you're in a relationship and it's you and her, and it should not be you against her on certain topics. So I would highly recommend that what you do is realize that you are on your fiance's side. She should be on your side as well. And don't let that come in between your relationship. So sometimes you have to just let things slide. So things that her mom says that upsets you and gets on your nerves, just let that go and take a deep breath. Let go and let God. Realize that her mom is not going to go anywhere. And try not to let that get under your skin. Because sometimes people do things to get on your nerves on purpose.
Right. Well, I'm feeling that. Well, I appreciate the help.
And you know what? Just try to stay out the... And try to stay
peace,
out the
King.
Way.
How you?
I'm doing good, my brother.
All right. Well, good luck, bro.
All right, man. Thank you.
Ask Yee. 800-585-1051. Hit Yee right now. Ask Yee's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. I'ma
keep it real with you. Get some real advice with Angela Yee. It's Ask Yee.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're in the middle of Ask Yee. Hello, who's this?
I don't want to say my name.
Okay, Miss Anonymous.
We can see you.
What's your question for Yee?
So I spoke to Yee a couple of years ago when I was pregnant with my son, and my boyfriend at the time wanted a DNA test. Everything worked out. We ended up getting married. Fast forward now, my son just turned 3, and I found out my now husband is, like, cheating on me, and he has been for a little while. He thinks I don't know, and I want to leave, but I'm scared to leave because now I have a whole new kid, and I'm just so stressed out. I need help.
All right, a couple of things here. How come you haven't said anything to him about it? He thinks you don't know. Why haven't you confronted him?
Well, I do say stuff to him about it, and he's just like, I don't know what you're talking about. That's not true. But, like, I show him messages that, like, I find in his phone, and he just denies it.
Which is the most disrespectful part, by the way, when somebody can't even admit that they're lying and they're doing wrong. It makes you realize, well, you're not going to change because you won't even admit you've done anything wrong that needs to be changed. So you know for sure that you want to leave him. You don't want to be with him anymore.
Yeah. I was actually going to go today to file a divorce, but the courts are closed here where I'm at.
Mm-hmm. Have you spoken to a divorce attorney?
No.
All right. Well, I think one of the first things you need to do is, do you guys have a prenup or any of those things in order?
No.
Okay, that's fine too. All right, so yes, it's time for you, if you know for sure that's not where you want to be, if this person is lying to you and you don't trust him and you're not happy in your relationship and you know you don't want to be with him, then yes, unfortunately, because of coronavirus, you won't be able to file for a divorce right away, but make sure you're set up. And I think that's important. Preparation is always key. Do you know where you're going to be? Are you going to stay in the house? Have you figured those things out?
Yes.
Okay, so it sounds like you're there. You know what it is you need to do, and do you think he'll still be a good father and handle his responsibilities?
That's what I'm scared about. I think that's why I've been holding on, because I have another son who's like 14, so he's able to do things on his own. But like the three-year-old, like I need a way to get him to school, or like when I'm at work and he doesn't work, so he like takes him to school and stuff and picks him up from school. So I'm scared that I'll like lose that support.
He should still want to handle his business and take his child to school. And I'm sure that's something that you guys will have to work out, because you're working, you can't do it, he's not. So if those are things that you need to have happen, if he has to come pick, you know, your son up, or have to have your son sometimes and you guys trade weeks or whatever it is, but I think those are things that you'll have to work out, and it's an adjustment, but you'll make that adjustment.
Okay.
And good luck to you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Good luck.
You're welcome.
Ask Yee, 800-585-1051. If you need relationship advice, you could hit Yee. Now, we got rumors on the way, Yee?
Yes, Idris Elba. He has some things that he wants to say to everybody who is talking about conspiracy theories when it comes to coronavirus.
All right, we'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk about the first female rapper to make over $100 million.
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it. On The Breakfast Club.
So listen up.
Yes, congratulations to Nicki Minaj. She is making history. Her net worth is officially over $100 million. Young Money posted that on their Twitter page. So congratulations to her. That's a big deal.
Congratulations to her.
Drop one of Clues Bombs for Nicki Minaj.
Absolutely.
No matter how DJ Envy feels about Nicki.
Stop it.
You can't deny her place in the history.
You better stop it. I'm happy for her. Congratulations.
So no matter how much Envy tried to blackball her and not play her music, Envy and DJ Self, you cannot deny Nicki Minaj's place in the history
books. Or how much Charlamagne Tha God hates on her.
I don't hate on Nicki.
Yes, you do.
All right,
but
girls,
I love Nicki.
Let's move on. All right, and Nicki Minaj's husband now has approval to use the internet, Kenneth Petty. He had to register as a sex offender in California. If you guys recall, he had failed to do so.
Not in my house.
What? Now he has permission. Yes.
See, hating again.
If I was Nicki, I'd be like, not in my house. Not in this $100 million house. You won't be using no goddamn internet. Okay?
All right. Taye Diggs is saying that The Best Man could be turned into a TV series. Wouldn't that be exciting? Would y'all like that?
I don't know.
It's been 14 years between the first two films, and fans are asking questions. And here's what he had to say on CBS's The Talk.
Do you think a third edition of The Best Man will happen? That's a good question. I do think it will happen. We've all been in discussions with the director, Malcolm Lee. I think it might end up being a TV series, maybe on a streaming platform. But the script has already been written. So we'll see. I'm just waiting on Malcolm Lee.
I don't know. I mean, it sounds good in theory, but I mean, are they going to have like the kids, the people from the movie?
It'd have to be a great storyline.
The script is already written, so
it is?
We shall see. Yes.
I only like stuff like that when it's the people from the movie. I hate when they bring those they turn movies into TV shows and they have a whole new cast. Mm-hmm. I don't like that.
Like on Soul Food did that. You didn't like that?
I don't even remember that.
Me neither.
You don't remember the Soul Food series? Was it on HBO or Showtime? Or
it was on Showtime.
It was on Showtime.
They had the cast from the movie?
No.
Nope, that's why I don't remember.
Yeah, it was different. It was good. It actually had a nice run, too. All right, now, while you guys are at home doing Netflix and chill and quarantining, self-quarantining, they have this new thing called Netflix Party. It's a new Google Chrome extension. And so now you and your friends can actually watch Netflix together. So that means that you guys can sync up things and watch like movies and TV shows at the same time. Also, there's a digital chat room with a sidebar for real commentary in real time between you and your friends. So
that's dope.
After everybody adds the extension, one person sets the room up, and then you can do an invite link and invite people to do that.
It is dope, but I'm going to tell you something. When you're sitting around trying to binge watch those shows, you want to be focused on those shows.
Right.
It's kind of distracting.
If people are laughing and talking to you.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, I know y'all don't watch 90 Day Fiancé, but they have a whole show on TLC, 90 Day Fiancé, and it's like all the people commenting on the shows as it happens. It's kind of like that, but you and your friends. And it's pretty funny.
I don't like that because I be on, you get on your phone and you be distracted from, you miss stuff. I don't want that. It's fun. It's fun, though, but I don't want it.
All right. Now, John Legend, meanwhile, previewed some new music yesterday. He did a live concert at home. And his wife, of course, Chrissy, and his daughter Luna were also in attendance. And here is a sample of some music from John Legend.
Actions speak louder than love songs.
Who are you talking to?
The melodies they carry on. The action. Speak louder than.
All right, sounds good to me. I'm excited. Listen, people are finding creative ways to connect right now, and sounds pretty good. Sounds
I saw something where they're going to be screaming movies, too. Like certain movies that come out in theaters, they're going to be in theaters, but they're going to be available for like $20 on certain streaming services.
That's smart.
That's super smart.
When is Coming to America coming out? When is that supposed to be coming?
The fall.
Oh.
You have some time. All right, I'm Angela Yee, and that's your Rumor Report.
All right, thank you, Miss Yee. Now, People's Choice Mix is up next. Get your request in, 800-585-1051. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
At Simple Mobile, you get the no-contract advantage. It's the speed you need at a price you'll love. With no mystery fees and no long-term contract ever. Simple Mobile. Out with the new, in with the simple. See terms and conditions of service at simplemobile.com. DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, it's Women's History Month. Who are we repping today, Yee?
Well, we got to represent this woman. She's a mogul. She's an entrepreneur. She's an artist. She's a producer, actor, director. Everything that you can name, she is it. And that person is Queen Latifah. Here's Queen Latifah speaking at Strayer University.
It's Women's History Month, and we're celebrating the most influential women in history. Check out this phenomenal woman.
It hasn't always been easy, has it? But wow, look at what you have accomplished. This is the day that you have been dreaming about. This experience and the education you've armed yourself with will take you on a journey you may not have expected. You too will encounter new people, new places, and uncover dreams you didn't even know you had. And now you know you can achieve them. You've already shown it by being here today. Remind yourself that you've taken a chance on yourself and your future and your family's future, and you have succeeded. That's something to feel good about. Let that inspire your confidence. And yes, take a look in that mirror, because no matter what, confidence comes from within. Even when you're not sure, when you feel you might fail, it's okay. Take that feeling, own it, get over it. Get up. Get yourself together. And remember how you feel right now. How you felt at times like this throughout your life, knowing you can accomplish anything. The world is in your hands, and nobody's going to take that away from you. I hope you feel pride and honor in yourselves, the way I feel looking at you right now. If I leave you with just three words of advice today, they would be, never stop growing.
And that was another phenomenal woman in history.
Shout out to the queen, man.
Peace to Queen Latifah, man. Salute to my guy, Jason Lee. He was with Queen Latifah All-Star Weekend, and he sent me a video message from Queen Latifah, man.
I seen that.
I never met Queen Latifah. Salute to her. I want to meet her so bad. What her and Shaquem do together with Flavor Unit, the way that their production company is positioned and the way that they have, you know, moved throughout the industry for years in the TV and film world is very inspiring for me as I build my TV production company. So salute to Queen Latifah and Shaquem.
Yeah, shout out to the queen.
Yeah, shout out to Queen Latifah. Quite a role model for a lot of women out here in this world, and also an amazing person. She's very down to earth still, even with all the fame that she's had for such a long time. So
and still can spit.
Mm-hmm. All right, when we come back, positive note, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, shout out to Linda Sarsour for joining us this morning.
Salute to Linda Sarsour. Her new book, We Are Not Here to Be Bystanders, is out right now. That's a good read. That's a good read for you. I'm going to do a book list. for everybody that's going to be home for the next couple of weeks. That's because I read some great books this year. I read like 6 books this year, and that was one of them.
Okay.
Great read. She's a superhero.
All right.
Salute to Tamika Mallory and Carmen Perez, too. They also are superheroes.
All right. Now, I'm about to head to the crib. You know, it's Wacky Wednesday at my house right now where the kids get to wear all type of wacky clothes. So I'm probably going to put on probably a Santa hat. I don't know what else I got.
You going to put a Santa hat? You going to be Corona Claus?
Hey, it's Wacky Wednesday. I got to wear some wacky stuff, so.
Something tells me that you look forward to this more than your children do.
They all do. Now, the kids are very excited about
that.
They're
probably
like, the kids actually love it. Like, they really look excited. Like, they were excited for Taco Tuesday.
We need to take a poll.
And game night. They're very excited. You know what it is?
I believe that they like Taco Tuesday. I don't know about Wacky Wednesday.
No, they made it up. They're like, they're really into it. I mean, you got to think, they're home all day long, so they want to do different things.
They're probably like, let's see what dumb things we can make Dad do.
Probably.
I'm not going to lie. I feel so sorry for my 11-year-old.
But.
Because you got to think, man, this is their life. Like, they go to school. They look forward to going to school with their friends. And then, you know, she's a cheerleader, so practice is canceled. So she's at home. And I'm watching her in, you know, our gym yesterday. And she's, like, doing her little moves and stuff like that, you know. And I'm just like, damn, yo.
Yeah.
Like, it ain't like us. We adults.
Right.
So we don't really have those things. We fine doing nothing.
Right.
Them, like, that's their whole existence, man. So
I do everything. Drawing competitions, Jenga. I done played video games yesterday. I was on iPad. I did TikToks with my daughter. I did everything, man. But I'm having fun, man. I'm really enjoying it.
I get it.
You got a positive note?
Yeah, man. I just want to keep telling y'all about uncertainty, man. You know, I've been reading a lot of Deepak Chopra lately. The 7 Spiritual Laws of Success, and I love what he says about uncertainty. Uncertainty is fearful to the ego, which always wants to control reality, but from the viewpoint of detachment, a constantly shifting and changing universe must remain uncertain. If things were certain, there could be no creativity. Therefore, spirit works through surprises and unexpected outcomes, man. So just, you know, lean into the uncertainty of it all, and hopefully something good will come out of this.
Breakfast Club, bitches!
Y'all finished or y'all done?
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears, real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
The NBA Finals begin Thursday, June 6th. At 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on ABC.
State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.